by our volunteers. It's awesome coverage of similar news. And that's something that we're able to bring you because you support KBOO, because we're independent. And the number to call to pledge your support is 877-500-5266, or go online to kboo.fm, click on that tip jar, put your money in there. You know you're supporting us. You know what you're getting. It's not like a murky investment. It's something for your community. It's something for you. It's something you cherish. You love the news that you hear. You love the music you hear. You probably hear music on KBOO and you're like, I've never heard that before. And that's what you get when you have independent radio. So please,
or stop on by 20 Southeast 8th. We're right here. We can show you around. You can see where this money goes. You can see how your community radio station works. Maybe you can get involved in whether it's just giving a monthly contribution, or maybe you want to get involved in a committee or come down and volunteer. 20 Southeast 8th, or call us right now. We need those calls to make our goal for this hour. Can you give $10 a month, $20 a month? We need just a couple more of you to make that goal. Please call 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-KBOO.
KBOO is a proud sponsor of Division Midway Alliance's third annual Festival of Nations, where cultures come together. The festival will be held at the Division Center at the intersection of Southeast 122nd Avenue and Southeast Division Street on Sunday, September 20th from 12 p.m. to 4 p.m. Catch TriMet bus lines 4 or 71 to get there. The Festival of Nations is a great time for the entire family with music and entertainment, from face painting and balloon art to the taste of the nation's tent with a variety of food from all over the world. Vendors will sell their goods and community organizations will provide some information about available services in the area. More information at divisionmidwayalliance.com/festival.
Thank you to all the restaurants that have provided food for our volunteers today. Bread and Ink Cafe, located at 3610 Southeast Hawthorne, provided breakfast, serving breakfast, lunch, and dinner in the neighborhood for nearly 30 years. Voodoo Donuts, located at 1501 Northeast Davis, provided donuts, where the magic is in the hole. Corbett Fish House, located at 5901 Southwest Corbett, provided lunch, serving a 100% gluten-free menu for lunch and dinner at two locations in Portland and one in Vancouver. Bombay Shot House, located at 804 Southwest 12th Avenue, provided dinner, serving traditional Indian dishes as well as vegetarian-friendly options.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Tonight's show is hosted by Elizabeth Ann McDonald and Fernando Gapacin. Tonight's guest is Bill Fletcher Jr. He has been a friend for over 35 years. He was once the assistant to John Sweeney, president of the AFL-CIO, and that organization's education director. He is an internationally known social justice activist, commentator, and author of dozens of articles and several books. Well, Bill, as we experience the changes over the years, one of the things that happened, the changes promised by the New Voice and Union Cities didn't play out as swiftly as many of us had expected. I remember in 1996 when there was that big gathering in Denver, Colorado to celebrate and unveil Union Cities. there were so many union reformers in that room, people who had been fighting the fight through the caucus movements, through many, many reform campaigns in American union movement. And literally, we were crying. We were in shock. We were in awe at the potential that we were experiencing in terms of real change. I'm thinking that I know that you were very close to it, being right there in D.C. during that time. And the thing is that you recognize that the changes first internationally, you know, in terms of the building of the Solidarity House, literally the throwing out of the CIA out of the AFL-CIO building. And the thing is that what was the actual impact of that split, the formation of Change to Win and the departure of SEIU, UFCW, HERE, the Teamsters, and so on?
The split accomplished none of the objectives that the architects of it had envisioned. It did not result in any renovation of the organized labor movement. It did not inspire new and creative thinking about strategy and tactics. As I mentioned, it was more representative of frustration about what was not changing in the national AFL-CIO, the larger crisis, and some other things. When the new voices were elected in 95, and then a number of us got involved in 96, in different capacities, it was a time of optimism, but a cautious optimism, particularly for people such as you and I and many others who had been in the trenches and knew that the incoming administration of John Sweeney, Richard Trumka, and Linda Chavez Thompson, these were not radicals, but they were reformers. And the thing that that we encountered, which I believe is very important for folks to discuss, is that this reform administration, as you pointed out, did some very important things, but it was only prepared to go but so far, and it was only prepared to travel at a certain rate of speed. So there was a cautiousness that we encountered from the beginning of the administration, and that cautiousness became even more intense when there were major transitions in leadership at the level of various affiliates. When the machinists, when they had a transition and Tom Buffenbarger took over, who was very different from his predecessor, when Ron Carey, when his administration and the Teamsters imploded, you know, there was a wind from the right that we started to feel. There was a chill in the air, and it did not mean that everything stopped all at once, but it did mean that things started to slow up. And the expectations that we could move faster and further, they started to evaporate. And I think that, you know, one of the things that we have to keep in mind is that with reform administrations, if there is not pressure on their left, they will ultimately stall.
Well, we had theorized in our book, Solidarity Divided, that there had been three major ideological groups in the labor movement. And for ease of understanding, there was the right, which is represented mostly by the ideology the early leadership, Samuel Gompers and all, the sort of business unionism.
Right.
There was the pragmatics, which were probably represented best by people like John L. Lewis and maybe Sidney Hillman. And then there was the left, represented by many of the leaders of the CIO and industrial unionists. But at an earlier time, represented by the industrial workers of the world. And there were always these contending pressures. And at different times, we saw the pragmatics aligning either left or right. Is this the kind of alliances, pressure from the left, pressure from the right kind of dynamics that you're talking about?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that the Sweeney administration, the New Voices, represented the victory of the pragmatists over the hard right wing in a semi-alliance with elements of the left. But as opposed to in the 1930s and 40s, when you had a much stronger left and well-organized left, in our case in the 90s, much weaker, much more reliant on individuals rather than organizations. And it meant that we on the left were not necessarily positioned to push in the way that needed to be. And also many of us that were on staff, in staff positions, were restricted. We were constrained by what it means to be a staff person. And I'm not saying that critically, you know, or cynically, just realistically, it was a real challenge, and the thing with the pragmatists is that you can see historically they will unite with the left, they will sometimes unite with the right, and that if they're receiving pressure from the right, they will frequently buckle, and that's one of the things that we've seen in a number of reform settings. The New Voices administration, in many ways, I think you could say they ran out of steam. And then there were certain external events that had a major impact, not the least of which being 9/11, the terrorist attack on the United States. And the impact that that had on many trade union leaders was to lead them to do something that was sort of strange, which is that they started acting as if World War II had started again, that this was Pearl Harbor. And they didn't look at the fundamentally different world situation than we were in between 2001 and 1941. And there was, as a result, there was this really kind of bizarre effort to convince or to attempt to convince the Bush administration and to convince the major capitalists that the trade union movement could be a reliable and loyal partner in the war against terrorism. And the Bush administration and the capitalists couldn't have given a damn about that. They had no interest in some sort of alliance. But this reflected, you know, the running out of steam of the movement and a sort of strategic impasse that it had reached.
Hi, this is Larry, and I'm here because I want to help KBOO, and I encourage you to do the same by calling 877-500-5266, and our website is kboo.fm, and I want to thank everybody that's contributed so far. Lots of people contribute time. Lots of people contribute money. And if you are able to make a donation, we would be grateful, and we encourage you to do so. My name's Larry, and I'm here with Ken. Hey, Ken.
Hey, Larry.
And
I just got finished with the newscast, and your big news with trees in the neighborhood today, and a lot of stories that you might not hear elsewhere except on KBOO. Apparently there's a developer in Portland who's been buying up properties, knocking down homes, and cutting down these old growth trees. And we had quite a bit of that on the news today. And then before that, Amy Goodman with Democracy Now. Again, stuff that you might just hear on KBOO. So if that's the kind of programming you like to hear, you're tuning in 4 o'clock, 6 o'clock, and now after 6 o'clock to some public affairs programming, please become a member or renew your membership. Another thing you can do is, when you give us a call, is if you're a sustaining member, Larry, you can increase your membership. If you're paying $5 a month, you might up it to $10 a month, $15 a month.
Yeah.
For $20 a month,
yeah, people often do that. Yeah,
KBOO hoodie, yeah. Which is really nice.
Yeah, and I want to thank Richard from Northeast Portland, who called up a few minutes ago and made a very kind donation. Thank you, Richard. We appreciate it very much. And I want you all to know also that with a $60 donation, you can get the book that's being discussed right now, Solidarity Divided, A New Path for the Labor Movement. And with a $60 donation, and that can be just $5 monthly over the course of a year, you can get a free copy of that book. So if you call up and make a donation, tell the person on the phone you would like a copy of that book, and we will send it to you.
And we have volunteers right now at the phones at 877-500-5266, or you can go online at kboo.fm. There's a tip jar in the upper right of the screen. Click on that, and we'll guide you through the whole process. You can pay. What we do encourage is sustaining membership, which I think is the least painful way to give, and that's giving a monthly amount, and we could take that out of a credit card, debit card, electronic fund transfer from your checking account. Give us a call. We can work with you on that. What we usually suggest, Larry, is your one-hour wage per month. So if you're making $10 an hour, $15 an hour, $20 an hour, it's something worth considering.
Yeah.
This is Fernando. I'm the host of Labor Radio, Second Monday. And I want to encourage every democracy-loving person out there to support KBOO. It's easy to support KBOO and democracy by online, kboo.fm, or call 877-500-5266. And for every $60 donation, you get a free copy of mine and Bill's book, Solidarity Divided.
So give us a call, 877-500-5266. If you want to get that book or make any size donation, we can work with you. Any amount is good. And we are very pleased and grateful for anything you can give us.
You are listening to KBOO Portland 90.7. This is Labor Radio, of, by, and for the working class. Tonight's guest is Bill Fletcher, Jr. Bill, when we speak of the labor movement, we are not just talking about unions, especially since unions make up less than 12% of the working folks in the U.S.
Right.
We were just talking about this, you're just getting at it. I know that some of the field directors of the AFL-CIO got into some conflict with the leadership when they began to advocate for things, alternative organizing like worker centers. How would you describe the general state of the labor movement, especially in light of things like the Friedrichs decision, Friedrichs versus the California Teachers Association?
We're in a situation, and I've been using this frame of reference for a couple of years. We're in the moment of the final offensive against labor. We're in a moment where the enemies of working people in this country have made the decision, a shrewd and strategic decision, that now is the time to annihilate unions. And for that matter, to annihilate all forms of worker organization. Because the attacks that are going on unions, against unions, are mirrored by attacks that are taking place against other forms of nonprofit worker organizations, where the political right is essentially saying that, you know, unions or worker organizations have no right to exist as any kind of independent body. And so workers are under absolute assault. And it's interesting, Fernando, for those that remember the period of the PATCO strike, the air traffic controllers in 1981, we remember how devastating that was. But what we don't appreciate, which one really gets to understand if you read Joe McCartan's book, outstanding book, Collision Course, about that strike, is that the Reagan's objectives at that time, believe it or not, was not to annihilate unions. His objective was to weaken unions significantly, but not to annihilate them. In fact, in the beginning, very beginning of his administration, he was hoping to replicate what Richard Nixon had done, which was to try to buy off certain unions that were more open to a conservative message. The PATCO strike provided Reagan's right wing, the far right wing in his administration, the justification to carry out their assault. Now, you fast forward to 2011 and Wisconsin, and and what you see in the attacks that were carried out by Scott Walker is that they no longer, the right wing is no longer interested in blunting or weakening unions. They're interested in annihilating them entirely. And that's what working people have to understand, that that's what we're up against. And there's unfortunately many trade union leaders that don't get it, that don't understand the extent of this assault. And, you know, that's what we've got to understand about the moment, why new strategies, new visions, et cetera, need to be advanced.
Hi, this is Larry, and I'm back, and I'm here with Ani, and we're here asking for your support. We hope that you will give us a call at 877-500-5266 to help support KABU during its pledge drive. We support KABU in many different ways. I volunteer my time here. Spent a lot of time here. That's the best thing for me right now in my life. But if you're able to, we encourage you and hope that you can make a financial donation. So give us a call here at 877-500-5266 and make a donation. And some people make very small donations. $5 a month, for example, is possible. That's only $60 a year. It's an amount you won't notice from your bank account, most likely. But some people give more than that if they can afford it. We're grateful for that. Other people make one-time donations of whatever amount they think they can afford. That's great, too. We can use it. We can take it from your credit card or debit card. So give us a call, 877-500-5266, and help support KABU, which has all this kind of great programming. I mean, in the commercial media, you will not hear anything about labor unions, pretty much ever. And here we have a program about that. And it's only because KABU is such a great station. We give a voice to all these groups of people who are ignored by the mainstream media to a great degree. KABU is a great resource for the city of Portland. And it helps, I think, improve quality of life for all of us, because the people here are sort of more aware of what's going on in the world and the forces that control our lives. a little bit more than the people who watch commercial news. So I encourage you to support us. So give us a call, 877-500-5266, or our website, kboo.fm. Hey, Ani.
That's so true, Larry. I can't agree more. And it's vital that people who are involved in the labor movement, I mean, we all benefit from the labor movement. If you are involved, if you're a union worker, then please do contribute monthly. I encourage people to give 1 hour's wage every month. It's a great way to even out the support for the station, how everyone can contribute what's affordable to them to strengthen their entire community. 877-500-5266. For your pledge of support at $60, you can get a copy of the book that Fernando Gapacin co-authored, and he is one of our hosts here at Labor Radio. That's the kind of expertise we bring you. Solidarity Divided, A New Path for the Labor Movement from UC Press. It's, again, for people involved in labor, please do give in a monthly way, $5, $10, $15 a month, $20 a month, what you can budget in monthly. And again, think about that hourly wage. You know, this morning, somebody increased their monthly EFT, their monthly automatic sustaining membership, because they got a raise, and they do contribute their 1 hour's labor wage every month. And they are, you know, so that is, I think, a wonderful testament. They're doing a little bit better this year, and now KBOO is too, because they're sharing that with their entire community. 877-500-5266. Online, you can do it at kboo.fm and contribute quickly online. But you know, KBOO is vital to the labor movement, as the labor movement is vital to us all. It's a reciprocity that we're involved with here, and we're asking you for your reciprocal support. Fernando was just talking to me about Friedrichs versus the CTA, which is a Supreme Court case right now, Friedrichs versus CTA, that is threatening apparently the public sector's ability to have an agency shop. And so that's a current struggle. And where can you hear about that from a worker's perspective? Not that many places, my friends, but here on KBOO, you can hear about that. That's what the hosts of Labor Radio bring you on Monday evenings. And that's why right now it's well worth your support. 877-500-5266.
Yeah, KBOO is KBOO has a lot of really great programs for different parts of the community, and one of them is this one, which is an excellent show, and I think it's great. I remember in California, Ani, for a while I was a substitute teacher in San Diego. Mm-hmm. As a substitute teacher, I made $95 a day. And then I came to Oregon, and suddenly I found that as a substitute teacher, I was a union member. I was paid like $150 a day. I was so much better off in Oregon.
Because of union protection.
Because of union. Yeah, Oregon's support. Not wealthier than California. It's just I had a union helping me and giving me support and protection. And for that, I was better off, you know. And I wasn't wealthy by any means. But, of course, that extra money made a lot of difference to my life at that point, because $95 a day is not really enough to live on nowadays.
Absolutely.
Certainly not. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, the importance of labor struggle, you know. And who do you actually hear about that struggle? Who do you hear about labor organizing and current campaigns? You hear about it on Labor Radio here on KBOO. So once again, to get in touch with us, become a sustaining member, help us reach that goal, you can get a copy of Fernando Gapacin's book, Solidarity Divided. Just give us a call right now, 877-500-5266. We'll choreograph that later.
You know, in our book, and I'm moving ahead, I'm going to give you an advance invitation to come back to our show and continue this discussion. But I wanted to say, we talk about something called Working People's Assemblies in our book. Briefly, what are they, and what role could they play in the future of U.S. labor?
Well, the basic idea that we try to get across is that there needs to be
a strategic thinking on the part of workers' organizations, including but not limited to unions, about the need to fight for power, that we need to move away from a defensive posture and to think more at the level of what is a worker's agenda for a city, a county, a state, and who are the forces that need to be brought together to build the sort of united front that could win office, that could win power? How do you bring together very diverse groups that may frequently have conflicts but have a strategic interest in unity? What do you do? And it was in that context that we started talking about the idea of working people's assemblies. That is literally a process to engage working people, not just the leaders of the organizations, but the members of working people's organizations, in a discussion about what's our vision? You know, what is a working people's vision of Portland, of Oregon itself? What would it mean if a slate of elected representatives who came out of the working class won office in Portland? What would be different? That's what we were trying to get at. That's what's so important. And I think, frankly, exciting, because it's not just about let's support some candidate that comes to us. It's more about articulating an agenda. What is it? What is the working people's agenda on housing, on jobs, you know, on law enforcement, on trade? What is the working people's agenda on those things? And that's what we need to be fighting for, and that's what we need to be taking to people that want our vote. Where do you stand?